Friends, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. So tomorrow's the 4th of July. You all ready for it? Yeah. Well, good. I was doing some reading about the 4th, and I learned some stuff that I don't really remember from grade school. For instance, the legal separation of the American colonies from the English monarch, it actually happened July 2nd. It was on that date that the Second Continental Congress approved a resolution of independence that was brought before them the previous June. And after voting for independence on July 2nd, Congress then immediately went on and started writing the Declaration of Independence, and they finished it 2 days later on July 4th. John Adams, he sent this letter to his wife on July 3rd, and here's what he wrote. He said, "The second day of July, 1776, will be the most memorable epoch in the history of America. I am apt to believe that it will be celebrated by succeeding generations as the great anniversary festival. It ought to be commemorated as the day of deliverance by solemn acts of devotion to God. It ought to be solemnized with pomp and parade, with shows, games, sports, guns, bells, bonfires, and illuminations from one end of this continent to the other, from this time forward forevermore." Well, John was right about everything except for the date. See, the original European settlers of this continent, they came here in search for wealth and followed later by economic immigrants and still later immigrants of religious freedom. And then over time, harsh regulations were imposed on them, and the colonies, they became oppressive. The people, they couldn't bear the weight of the burdens that were imposed on them. There were all kinds of tariffs, laws that restricted where people could travel, taxation without representation, the Tea Act, which prompted the Boston Tea Party, the Stamp Act, and then there was a whole group of acts called the Intolerable Acts. And eventually the Declaration of Independence was birthed, and the American Revolution brought freedom from the burdens of the crown. America celebrates the 4th as Independence Day. But rightly, it's our Declaration of Independence Day. See, the Declaration itself didn't establish our independence. King George didn't receive the Declaration and say to Thomas Jefferson, "Oh, hey, that's a good piece of writing. I'm just going to leave you guys be." It took 7 years of struggle and war before the Constitution could be written. The Constitution was written in ink and ratified with the blood of fighting ordinary men who wanted freedom for themselves, for their families, and for the country. Freedom gained always comes at a cost. And then this freedom, it was for a purpose. It was that humanity's rights, its inalienable rights, might be lived out in this country. Life, liberty, the pursuit of happiness might be here. And so we remember the roots of oppression and freedom that we have. Anybody know the inscription on the Statue of Liberty? Remember what it says? "Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore, send these, the homeless, the tempest-tossed, to me. I lift my lamp beside thy golden door. There seems to be a lot of that going on in the world right now. So on Independence Day and this weekend, it's good that we talk about our nation's freedom. But as Christians gathered here for worship, there is a greater freedom that we are called to be mindful of. It's a freedom that comes with being a citizen of the kingdom of God, a kingdom in which we gain entrance with faith and baptism. In that kingdom story, it provides a backdrop for our gospel reading today. And the main character is God, and the plot is God's work in healing humanity's brokenness and pain. See, God's inbreaking kingdom comes only through our Lord's life, death, and resurrection. And this inbreaking kingdom provides the mission for the 70 in our gospel reading that sends them out into the mission fields. See, it's the freedom that they know in Jesus that compels them to go into the world to tell the story and to do the good works of God. But what kind of freedom did the disciples of the past and disciples today receive? One of the things that I've learned since becoming a parent is just how much stuff you carry. Am I right, Smith family? Right? I mean, Jess and I, we really learned about this on our trip to El Salvador. If the child's an infant, you have to bring diapers and formula or pay twice as much at the destination, a portable crib, books and toys for the trip, a car seat for the airplane and for the car, a stroller, not to mention all of the clothes for every possible situation. We've been known to take 6 suitcases for 5 people on a 3-day trip. I mean, it's so easy to understand why parents buy trucks and minivans and SUVs and station wagons. They haul all of the kids' baggage. But we all carry a lot of baggage with us, don't we? Unlike the massive cars we drive around that are meant to carry heavy loads, we are not meant to carry the weight of our internal baggage, the sin baggage that we bear. It simply cripples our soul. The baggage of traumatic events in our lives, the death of a spouse, the loss of a child, a deceased loved one, the lingering effects of divorce, the pain of being lied to and taken advantage of. It's the shame of childhood events or the lack of trust that's due to being hurt way too many times. The traumatic events, they affect us and they add more weight to the baggage that we carry. And likewise, sin affects us. Selfishness and pride and killing people's characters with our words, lying, coveting, lust. See, all sin does is it adds weight to our own baggage and those around us. I could go on and on with all of the kinds of sins that the Bible talks about, but James, he does a pretty good job in summing it up nicely. He says, anyone who knows what the right thing to do is, but fails, commits sin. Gosh, those words cut to the soul. And Martin Luther, he says that all the sins that we commit comes from a chief sin, the main sin. And that sin is the lack of faith in the freeing work of Jesus. That everything comes from that. See, the disciples were first freed from the pain of their past. They then manifested and told the story of their freedom. And friends, likewise, we are freed through faith in Christ. And unlike the physical oppression of colonial America, this is a situation that humanity has faced from this spiritual oppression from the time before recorded history, which we are held captive by sin, death, and the devil. See, when we live in the sinful realm, we're living in our old nature. And it's only through faith and baptism that we enter into the kingdom of God and live in God's freeing power. Without faith in Jesus, we are destined to carry around the loads that are not meant for us to bear. See, Jesus frees us by ushering us into God's kingdom. While on earth, Jesus miraculously gave the blind sight, made the cripple walk. He fed the hungry, he raised the dead, he healed the sick. And all of these are just signs of God's inbreaking kingdom. They're a reflection of the kingdom. See, Jesus, he shows us through his life what it's like to live into the kingdom of God, and it's through his death that he makes the way for us to enter into it. Jesus gives us the doorway through himself by offering his life on the cross. And it is at the doorway of his body and blood that Jesus takes the baggage off of our shoulder and invites us into the kingdom. Jesus takes all of the sin and baggage we carry and he leaves it outside on the doorstep because it has no place in his house. Friends, you have been set free. Live in that freedom. But sometimes we just don't believe it, do we? We go back and we check on the baggage at the door. Because it's something we lived with our whole life. It's comforting. Anyone hear stories about holdouts from the Japanese military during World War II? I think I've mentioned it before. Well, World War II, it didn't end neatly on September 2nd, 1945. At its peak, the Empire of Japan spanned 20 million square miles of land and sea, and soldiers in isolated regions, they continued to fight for years after their surrender. I read one story, it was like 20 or 30 years after the surrender of Japan. There were still soldiers in the jungle. Some were unaware that the war had ended, and others just didn't believe it. Friends, don't be a holdout. You're free. free from the past, free from a life of sin, free from the guilt of sin. The freedom that Jesus gives us is once and for all. If we live as holdouts, we live a life that's a lie. It's one in which we are free from the old nature, but then choose again willingly to live as its slave. So the experience of God's kingdom, where sins are forgiven, where burdens are lifted, is the new reality for believers in Jesus. See, in the 70 disciples that we read about in our gospel this morning, they just didn't believe, and that's it. They believed and did something. They experienced the freedom that only Jesus can give, and then they took that freedom out into the world. They received, and then they went out and they gave. And there are people in our congregation who already know this. They've heard the call, and then they go out and share the good news of Jesus. They've received from God and are passing it along. Brothers and sisters, you are called to share your faith with others. You are called to tell people the good news which you have been given. Your faith may be private. We like to talk about that in the United States. Well, my faith's private, so I don't really like to talk about it. It may be private, but it's not secret. We're called to receive and give our entire lives. We're called to receive and give when we're young. We're called to receive and give when we get older. You have been freed in order to spread God's freedom. So friends, may you come to believe, or believe even more, that Jesus freed you from your sin. May you live in his freedom as transformed people. And may you share the good news of your salvation with others. Amen.